to his word. Amen. Why don't we go ahead? Let's bow our heads. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing this time it's not about us. It's all about you. And we come ready to receive all of your goodness. We're ready to receive your wisdom as you're about to download it upon us, Lord, as we choose to live according to your ways, according to your word. Father, we know you are more than just satisfy. You're going to overflow and fill us with your holy presence so that we can truly know how to live this life and live it victoriously for you. So, Father, we place it all in your hands. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I hope you're excited because, like I told you last week, we're starting a new sermon series. And it's called Extremely Dangerous Prayers. And what is this all about? Well, we're going to look at some prayers prayed by some godly men and women of the Bible. And we're going to take a closer look at the specific content of these passages so that we're not only going to discover that they had a great impact on the person who prayed it, but it also can have a powerful impact on who? Us. If we use it as a model to make some drastic changes in our lives. And the truth of the matter is, right, we're too accustomed in praying what are called safe prayers. Well, what are safe prayers? You know, well, God bless us. Oh, God, please help us. God, protect us from harm. Is there anything wrong with praying these prayers? Of course not, right? But they're all good, but we need to start praying dangerous prayers. Dangerous prayers, but in a good way, okay? In a good way. Because how extremely dangerous they will be determined by whether or not you really take these prayers seriously, okay? And this involves you praying them on a daily basis and praying them with a certain intensity that really comes from your heart and comes from your soul. Because if you do, here's what's dangerous about it. You're going to experience God's presence, first of all, like you've never experienced it before. And that's an awesome thing, right? Because we want more of his presence. But you know what? We realize God, he's going to dig deep inside of us. He's going to dig so deep in our heart and soul. He's going to make us realize things that we got to take care of right now. And we're going to have such a wonderful intimacy with our Father God if you truly pray these prayers from deep within your heart and deep within your soul. And I guarantee you, you will never doubt again whether or not you are hearing his voice. Because these kinds of prayers, you know, when you pray them, man, God, he hears from heaven. And he's going to make some major changes happen in your life as you listen for his voice and you say, yes, Lord, whatever you ask. And this will be a 5-part series, okay? And the first prayer is prayed by King David. And it has 24 verses, but it's the last two verses that we're going to put the emphasis on, all right? And David, he prays this prayer after realizing his enemies are trying to ruin his life. And guess what? They're also blaspheming his God. And, you know, David, he could have just got all bent out of shape and just like, what? Right? But, you know, we're going to see what he says in this prayer. Okay, I'm going to start off with verse 1. And in your notes, it's actually verse 23 and 24 that you have. So just listen for now, okay? Just I want you to listen to what David is saying as he's praying this prayer to God. Just listen here. He says, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything that I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. if I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? What does he say here? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. And suddenly, he prays the last two verses of this prayer, realizing, uh-oh, I better stop right there. And this is what he prays. Read this with me. Ready? Go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And you can see, right? It's almost like coming to a screeching halt. Okay, Lord, I better turn to you now. And from this, right, we get four parts to King David's Search Me prayer, okay? And so we're going to dissect what he had said in these last two verses and try to look at the heart of what David may be trying to say, because it seemed, right, he was going to get to the point, maybe he was going to curse out his enemies now. And then he stops and he says, wait a minute. Search me, O God, and know my heart. So that is the first part of his prayer. Search me, look inside of me, O God, and know my heart. You know, for some of us, we may say, wait a minute, Pastor Ben, why do I need God to search my heart? My heart is good. I'm a good, good person. And I always was a good person. I always will be a good person. Well, what does the Bible say about the human heart? Won't you read that with me in Jeremiah 17:9? This is what God says. God, who is the creator of what? Everybody, right? The whole world, right? And everybody in it. Okay, let's read what he says. The human heart, what does it say there? Is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Wow. And I know for some people who read this for the first time, it's just like they run right into a brick wall. Boom. Wow, where did that come from? What are you saying, God? You know, but we realize when the human heart is empty of Jesus, this is exactly what it can become. And we realize even as Christians, we know Jesus is in our heart, but sometimes we may turn the other way. Sometimes we may be distracted by things that we know are not of God. And sometimes, yeah, if we're not careful, our heart still can become wicked. And that's why we need to turn to Jesus each and every day of our lives. Amen? And the truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, that we often lie to ourselves. You know, we may say things like, oh, don't worry, I'm just going to have one drink just to socialize with others, right? And suddenly we're smashed, right? Because we drank more than just one, right? Or you may say, oh, I don't have a problem with lust. I just like to admire God's beautiful works of art. Right? Come on, right? Or you can say, I don't gossip. I just need to know what other people's problems are so that I can pray for them. Yeah, right. Come on, are you telling the truth? Because it may be, right? But really, ask yourself, are you really being concerned about this person, wanting to know everything because you just want to pray for them? Or do you want to know the juicy gossip? Come on. Or you may say, I don't have a problem with pride. I just can't help myself that I'm God's best masterpiece. Come on. You know, when we say these things, we got to understand, God knows our heart. And he knows you may not be telling the truth. He may be saying, yeah, right. Right? And, you know, I got to tell you, several years ago in Long Beach, California, there was this fellow who went into a fried chicken place, okay? And he bought a couple of chicken dinners for himself and his date one late afternoon. And the young woman at the counter accidentally gave him the earnings from the day. And it was a whole bag of money. Much of it was cash, and it was money instead of fried chicken, okay? So after driving to their picnic site, right, the two of them, they sat down, they opened the meal, and they were ready to enjoy some chicken together. And they discovered a whole lot more than chicken, right? It was close to $1,000, okay? But the man, he felt convicted to do what is right, and he quickly put the money back in the bag, and he told his date that they needed to do the right thing. And the date kind of looked at him, kind of admiring him, said, wow, that's mighty noble of you to do something like that. So what did they do? They got in the car and they drove all the way back to the restaurant. And, you know, the guy got out, he walked in the restaurant and he became an instant hero. And he took the bag of money and he looked the manager right in the eye. And he says, I want you to know I came by to get a couple of chicken dinners and wound up with all this money. Here, I'm giving it all back to you. Well, the manager was thrilled to death, right? And he says, oh, great. Let me call the newspaper. I want your picture in the local newspaper. You're the most honest man I've ever heard of. And the man, the guy, right, he quickly, you know, responded nervously. He says, oh, no, don't do that. Then he leaned closer and he whispered to him, you see the woman that I'm with? She's not my wife. She's somebody else's wife. Okay. And you realize, yeah, we got to stop pretending, right? You heard that song, oh, yes. I'm the great. Come on, sing with me. Great pretender, pretending that I'm doing well. Come on. People know you're faking it. And we realize we gotta stop pretending. We say we are Christians. It means you are a follower of Christ. And you must do what God wants you to do, because if you're faking it, you think you can fake it through your whole life, you're fooling yourself, because guess who knows? Yeah, God knows, because he looks right inside of your heart. And he wants to know if your life, your heart, truly belongs to him 100%. It has to be 100% over the top. Because if not, you give a little room, the devil is going to use that. Even if it's 99.99999999%. He'll use whatever he can, the devil, to try to draw you away from God, get you back into the world. And, you know, we got to realize we got to be true to ourselves and we got to be true to God. Amen? You know, for you younger folk, you know, when you are with your parents or your teachers or maybe even your pastor, Do you act a certain way? Maybe you act all prim and proper. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Or, you know, just act like so, like you're well-behaved, right? But when you're with your peers, do you act like totally somebody else? You know, you're known as Mr. Wild Guy, party animal, right? And we realize, no, we got to be consistent in how we live our lives, because we're living our lives for Jesus Christ. Amen? And it has to be consistent, because I'm going to tell you, the world is watching us. One little slip up and suddenly you're slammed. I taught you was a Christian. How could you do that? Right? And so that's why we have to make sure our lives are consistently devoted to Jesus Christ. Amen? So when you pray this first part of the prayer, you can see why I'm saying this is dangerous, because you know, when you ask God to search you, he will search you. And he's going to show you something that, man, you never thought that you even had a problem with. And then you kind of go, wow, I didn't know that, Lord. And God's going to say, okay, what you going to do about it now, child? Because I love you. And you need to make some changes right now. And I know God spoke to me in this way before. And sometimes I go, oh, no, I shouldn't have prayed that, you know. But I know I have to. Because if I don't ask God to search me deeply, I must just stay the same person that I am, because I want to be changed on a daily basis. I want to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Amen? And this is the only way that your behavior can be corrected. Corrected so that you can truly become more like his son, Jesus Christ. And you know what? We got to understand to become more like the truth, because who is the truth? Jesus is. He's the way, the truth, and the life, right? We want to become more like Jesus. We want to become more like the truth. We got to be true to ourselves. We got to be true to God. Amen? Look at number two now. The second part of his prayer was, test me and know my what? My anxious thoughts. You know, and in this second part of David's prayer, he asked that God put him to the test. Right? And review any anxious thoughts that may show that he doesn't really trust God that much or at all. And it can be dangerous when you ask God to test you. It's like saying, God, go for it. Right? You can say, just test me, Lord. Because guess what God's going to do? He probably will allow certain things to happen or not to happen in your life to see if your heart really belongs to him. Because, hey, that's a test. He may take away something, or he may put something there, and you may go, whoa, what is this? But you realize you asked for the test. And he's going to test you because he wants to know if your heart is fully devoted to him. You know, what are we afraid of? We've got to ask ourselves, you know, because we can be afraid of many things. Are you afraid of losing your job? Are you afraid of not getting married by a certain age? Are you afraid of failing and what the future may hold for you? Are you afraid of loss, whether it be something or someone that you value so dearly? Because here's the thing, sometimes our thoughts can be irrational, right? And may keep us late at night. And you know, for some of us, we kind of go back and forth on our living room floor, right? We go back and forth, and the carpet is just worn out. And you can tell, because this is the same place you're pacing back and forth. You're just worried. And sometimes we realize when we get to that point where that worry just becomes so intense, it really shows that you're not fully trusting God. Because if you trust God, you're going to be still. And you're going to know that he is God and he is Lord over your life. Amen. And when we ask God to know our anxious thoughts, you are relinquishing ownership of your problems. What does it mean to relinquish? It means to give up, right? It means you're giving it away. You're giving it to him. You're giving it in its entirety to God. It's got to be the whole thing, the whole shebang. Don't even hold back just a little bit. Give it all to God and say, Lord, it's yours. I trust in you. I believe in you, Father. It is completely yours. And you're saying to God, I know that you know what my problems are, and you also know the solutions. So why am I worried? If I trust in you, you will give me the answers and you will provide the way out for me. You see what I'm saying here? That's what we got to think. We got to get this in our noggins. That's what it means to trust God. It means to give it over to him and say, Lord, it's yours. And you're going to speak to me. I'm going to listen and I'm going to do as you say. And as you do this, yeah, your problem, sooner than you know it, it's gone. I'm serious. It will be gone because you gave it over to God fully and completely. Amen? I want you to look at 1 Peter 5, 7. Look what it says there. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Cast all your what? Anxiety on him because why? He cares for you. He cares for you. That's why he wants these problems. Don't think, oh, I don't want to give my problems to God because that's kind of mean giving. We're talking about God here, all right? God, he can handle it, don't you think? He'll take it and he's going to replace that with his love, his peace, and his joy. He cares about you and that's why he wants to take it from you. And you must let him take it completely. Amen? You know, a wise man once said, why worry when you can trust? It is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Isn't that true? You can rock in a chair, two hand bro. Are you going to go anywhere? No, you must stay right where you are. You're doing something. Same thing with worry. You're doing something, but you're not getting anywhere. It's just making your situation worse. Give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. And see what God will do. You know, in Northwest Houston, there's this business owner named Sean Baker, and he has a business called Tantrums. Okay? Well, you know what he does? He encourages angry, anxious, and frustrated people to take out all their frustrations on household items, such as desks, television sets, and dinnerware, such as dishes and glassware. And you know what the owner says? He says, well, this is how it works. You can rent a room, either 10 minutes or 15, and you destroy the contents of the room. Whatever I put in there, you can destroy it, either with your choice of golf clubs, baseball bats, lead pipes, sledgehammers, and whatever else I can think of, I'm going to bring up there. Okay? And she says that some people go totally crazy. You can tell they're just like stressed out, maxed out, right? And they smash everything to smithereens, you know? When she comes back, she goes, whoa, what happened? Everything's like smashed up, right? And she says that stay-at-home mothers, for some reason, they have been the most interesting visitors, you know? Some reason, oh, they go for it, man, you know? And she says, for 10 minutes, you know how much? $35. People are actually paying, you know, her for this. And for 15 minutes, it's $50. And she says, if you need more time than that, you need professional help. Here's the thing, right? When you try to handle your stress and worry the world's way, because that's the world's way, right? Ah, smash something, right? Just like the Incredible Hulk, smash, right? And here's the thing, when you turn to the world, whether it be like self-help books, you know, prescribed medication or therapeutic counseling or even deep breathing meditation, right? I'm going to tell you, okay, nothing wrong. If you're doing these things, that's fine, okay? But you know what? It may help for only just a moment, right? Sometimes it's just temporary. But here's the thing, when you give it over to God, I mean, say, Lord, here's my problem. You already know, but I'm just going to list it out. You can write it out if you like, right? And say, Lord, here are all my problems. You know what they are already. I'm giving it over to you. I'm handing it over to you. Yours. Guess what? God, he sees that. And he says, okay, child, I know you're surrendering it to me. Here comes my peace. Here comes my peace. Here comes my joy. Here comes my joy. Here comes my love. Here comes my love. You're empowered in the presence of God. Amen? That's what happens when you give it over to him, the one who cares about you more than you shall ever know. Amen? You got to know that this is what God does. And when it's given over to God, it's his for keeps. He doesn't want you to take it back. And if you start pacing, you know, you may say, Lord, it's all yours. Then you go, oh, you're pacing again. Catch yourself and say, no, no, it's yours, God. It's yours. And just sit down, relax, be still, and know that he is God. Amen. You got to give it over to him completely. And when we do, that's when you're going to experience his peace like no other. He doesn't want you to take it back. So what do we have to do? Well, the Bible is very clear on what we have to do. Follow these steps, okay? Look at Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Won't you read that with me? Look what Paul says. Ready? Go. Don't worry about anything. Instead, so if you start worrying about anything, right? Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So I want you to really catch this. Go back to this verse over and over again, you know. When you feel like you're worrying about anything, look at that big instead. Look what it says there. Instead, pray. So what do? You start worrying? Pray. What does it mean to pray? Father God, I need you. Father, help me. Start there. Simple. Father, I don't know what to do. Help me. And go to him like this kind of desperateness. And you're going to see how God will come in. And after you tell him what you need, what do? You thank him. What do you thank him after? He's given you what you needed? No, thank him right after you ask him. Because whatever he gives you, it will be always his best. You can trust him for that. Because sometimes he's not going to give you exactly what you asked for. Because he knows best. You're not God. He is. So let him be God. Thank him. When you thank him, it shows that you trust him. Thank him immediately. Say, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I know you're going to take care of it. And this is what the next part of the scripture says. Then you will what? You're going to experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So guaranteed, after you thank him, you know what? You know what you should experience right at that point? Peace. But it's not the kind of peace that, you know, you're normally accustomed to. It's a peace that you know is from the Lord. Suddenly, your mind is free from worry and anxiety. And if you don't feel that peace, repeat. Pray again, right? Tell God again what's on your mind. And then thank him again. And, you know, sometimes we got to repeat it. It's okay. You can repeat this until you know the peace of God has come. Amen? And it will come. Because he's not going to disappoint you. He will show himself when you cry out to him. Amen. And he says, it will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So the devil, he's going to try to infiltrate your mind and your heart again. But if you know your trust is huge for God, he can't do it. The devil ain't going to succeed. He can do all he wants. He knows that your heart belongs to Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's going to quit. He's like, okay, I can't get through this child of God. Amen. I want you to go to number three now. It says here, point out anything in me that what? Offends you. And you know, here David is saying, you know, God, see if there is any offensive way in me. Show me, God, up anything about my life that may be inconsistent with your truth. And you know, David knows that God knows every single little detail about his life because guess what? God, did he create David? Yeah, he created all of us, right? So he knows that God knows him better than what? He knows himself, right? Because we think, oh, I know myself better than anybody else. Oh, there's one who knows you even better. That's God because he made you. He created you and he knows everything about you. So in actuality, David is saying, go for it, God. Don't hold back in telling me about my weaknesses and my faults. Uncover my sins. Can you imagine? He's saying, uncover. Because sometimes we don't know we're sinning, right? David's saying, lift the lid off and show it to me, God. Whatever sins that I may be hiding or maybe some sins that I'm unaware of, Lord, show it to me so I can be corrected And as I'm corrected, I know I'm becoming more like your son, Jesus Christ. Wow. Would you want to ask God for that, to uncover your sins? Well, we should, because this is the only way you're going to mature as a Christian. Wow, dangerous, yeah? Dangerous. And David knows that when God sees him, all is exposed, right? So why bother trying to hide anything from him? Because you cannot. You can't. He already knows you inside out, outside in. I want you to look at Hebrews 4:13. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is what? Uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So does God ever take his eyes off of us? No. So don't think you can hide. And you know what? The reason why he has his eyes upon you, because he loves you. Not because, you know, he's sneaky or he's a peeping Tom or anything like that. No. He loves you, just like a caring father, right? Always watching their child. They're playing on the street. You can see the father and mother's eyes never taken off of the child. Same with Father God. He watches us because he loves us. And we must understand that. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, David's attitude is very pleasing to God, that he would say, you know, uncover it, Lord, uncover my sin. But, you know, it's very uncommon that people would ask God to uncover their sins, because isn't it usually the case in which we point out other people's sins, right? We may say things like, whoa, this person is about to destroy his life with all the bad decisions he's making. Or they may say, I can't believe he allowed himself to come this far with his sin. And we may even go as far as saying, you know what? I would never do that. How can he do that? How can he let God down so much, right? But then, do we ever look within ourselves? That's the question. Have you noticed that, you know, that sometimes we always look at other people's sins, but we don't look at our own sins. Sometimes we tend to accuse others, and with ourselves, what do? We excuse ourselves. You know, we accuse others, and we excuse ourselves. You may say things like, oh, it's not a big deal. God understands why I have to do this. This is how I cope. God knows. I have to do this. Or they may say, it's really none of your business, so stop judging me. You know, and a brother may be saying, you know, out of love, you know, saying, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. This is displeasing to God. And, you know, I've done this, and I probably said this too, you know, where I know my brother, he pointed out some sins in my life in the past, and I go, hey, well, you better than me, right? Well, you're judging me. Well, now that you think you've been a Christian longer than me, you're judging me. And we say things like that. But we realize, I know my brother loves me. That's why he's pointing out what my sins are, so that I can be aware of them and I can repent and make it right with God. Amen? And yes, sometimes we need to lovingly correct others of their mistakes, but we can't go through life thinking that everyone is imperfect except for ourselves. Not so much that we think we are perfect, but guess what? We've gotten really good in covering up our mistakes. You know how to cover them? You know how, like a dog? Cover up their mess, right? I know that's a terrible, but you know what I'm saying, right? We cover up mistakes so nobody can see them, but it's still there. You can smell them, and you kind of you look closely, it's still there, right? The mess. And we know that God, especially, he sees them, and he wants us to make it right with them, because it seems our sins and mistakes, right? We think we can get away with them, but eventually they will catch up to us. And they will eventually destroy us if we're not careful. And so many times I hear at the park people telling me, Pastor Ben, I never imagined my life would turn out this way. Never! My life was good. I was doing so well. And look, they tell me they're homeless. They have nothing. And they tell me it's because of some bad decisions that they had made in their lives. But, you know, we can make it right. We can turn to God once again and say, Lord, I need you. And you know, we know that God, he hears us. And he's going to do his part as you trust in him. You know, the story goes, of this drunk husband that had snuck up the stairs quietly late at night. And, you know, he looked at the bathroom mirror, right? And he bandaged the bumps and bruises that he had received in a fight earlier that night, okay? So, you know, he proceeded to climb into bed, smiling at the thought that, you know, he pulled one over on his wife, okay? He's gotten away with this, right? So when morning came, he opened his eyes, and there stood his wife. And his wife said to him, "You were drunk last night, weren't you?" And he says, "No, honey, I wasn't." And then the wife responded, "Well, if you weren't, then who put all the Band-Aids on the bathroom mirror?" I don't have to explain that to you, right? You got it. All right, good, good, all right. Well, that, you know. We think we can get away. Keep putting it on the bed. That's cute. Yeah. But anyway, but you know, we think we can get away with our sins. But hey, it's going to catch up with you sooner than you know it, right? You only can hide your sins for so long. Only so long. Come on. You only can hide them for so long. So what must we do to break this mold of hiding our sins and deceiving ourselves? Well, I got one word for you. Confession. We got to confess our sins to God. You know, whether it's small, big, because, you know, a lot of times we forget to confess of our sins. We think, oh, I'm already forgiven. I repented already. So we don't even think about what we have done wrong and confess it to God. Sometimes we just stop. We leave that out of our prayers. And guess what? It accumulates, you know, because one sin after the other, it hasn't been dealt with, you know, with God. So it starts to accumulate. No, get into the habit. I'm going to call it a habit of just saying, "Lord, what did I do wrong today? Tell me." And he's going to show it to you. Say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did that." And when you keep on doing that, you have such a repentant heart. Guess what? You're not going to be looking at things that you're not supposed to be looking at. You're not going to be doing things that you know that are displeasing to God, because you're always having a mind that's wanting to get it right with God. Amen? You see what I'm saying here? And that's why we got to confess of our sins to God for this reason, for forgiveness. I want you to read with me 1 John 1:9. Read that with me. Ready? Go. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will cleanse you. When you confess your sins to God, right? He's going to be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins that are in your life, right? And when you confess it to him, you know what happens? You are not only forgiven, because if you really repent from your heart, you confess it to him from your heart, right? You're really sorry. Guess what else he's going to do? You're going to be forgiven, and he's going to empower you not to continue in that sin anymore. You see what I'm saying? Because what sense is it if we ask for forgiveness, but then we go, boom, right back into the sin? No, it ain't going to do any good. But when you express it from your heart, you confess from your heart, "Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Help me, Lord." He's going to empower you so that you will not make that same sin happen again and again and again. You got to go to him with your whole heart about it. Amen? And you're going to see. You're going to have victory. You're not going to make any excuses and say, "Oh, but it's too hard." No. Suddenly, you realize the power of God is coming upon you because you have been confessing your sins to him. Amen? And then you confess your sins to other believers so that you may be healed. Okay, we confess our sins to God so that we're going to be forgiven, right? But the Bible also tells us we got to confess our sins to others. For what reason? James 5:16. Read that with me. Ready? Go. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another," and what? "Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Notice that it is the believer's responsibility to pray for you. If you're telling this person your problems, you're telling this person your sins, right? Just find someone that you know that you can trust, that someone will not blab it to the whole world, right? Someone that you know you can count on and that this person will truly pray for you. And guess what? You're going to be healed. Okay, God forgives, right, your sins, but other people are going to help you find the healing. That's what we need, healing from whatever it is, the addiction or whatever it may be. And I'm going to tell you, I remember when I was a smoker, you know, I shared this with you guys before. You know, I used to smoke like up to 7 packs a day. Yes, 6 to 7 packs of cigarettes in my 20s. I don't know how I did it, but that's what I did. No, wait, not 7 packs. I mean, two packs, two to three packs. I don't know where I got the 7, but two. Oh, that's crazy. I wouldn't be here right now if I did that. Okay, two. I think it was about 2 packs, 2 to 3, sometimes even 3. I'm not kidding. 2 to 3 packs a day, not 7 packs. All right, don't tell everyone. Well, Pastor Ben, you just smoke 7 packs. No, I never did that. 2 to 3 packs a day. And so anyway, I remember I just told everyone. I told my coworkers, you know, that were Christians. I told my Bible study group. And I had to come to a point, I had to tell myself, I know this is a sin. Because a lot of people say, no, smoking isn't a sin. It'll get you faster to God, but it's not a sin. But you know what? I realized the scripture says that, you know, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm messing up the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I said, it's a sin. I had to tell myself, it's a sin. Right? And so, you know, I told everyone about it. And so, you know, they prayed for me and they said, you know, God's going to set you free. And I kept hearing this and people would call me, Ben, you're not smoking, are you? I said, well, I kind of slipped this morning. Okay, Ben, I'm going to pray for you even more. And my brother, he was in this too, you know. This is before I met John Lee. So I wonder, I kind of asked John Lee, would you have dated me if you knew I was a smoker? She said, no. So thank God, you know. Thank God I quit, you know. But anyway, I got to tell you, when people prayed for me, I felt empowered. I felt empowered. And I eventually quit. Been free more than, 25 years. Praise God. Never looked at it, never even desired it, forget about it. Never going to come back to my lips again, that thing, that poisonous stick, right? So praise God, right? So that's what I'm saying. We can go to each other for prayer so that we can receive what? Healing. Amen? Praise God. Look at number 4 now, and the last part. It says, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And here's the thing. Every day we got choices to make. Are we going to be led by God and receive his bountiful blessings, which will eventually, guess what? It will lead to eternal life. Because one day we're all going to take our last and final breath, right? And we know we're going to have everlasting life with him. Are we going to follow his way, or are we going to be led in the opposite direction that will bring forth death and destruction? Because guess who is working against us? Yeah, the devil is, right? I want you to look at Romans 2, 6 to 8. Read that with me. Ready? Go. He will judge everyone according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that what? God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. Wow. He will give eternal life for those who keep on doing what? Doing good, following his word, seeking after his glory and honor and immortality that God offers. And here's the thing. It says here, if you live for yourself, guess what? You're actually being led by the world and all of its desires because you're wanting to do whatever the world is doing, not doing what God wants you to do. And we realize when we keep doing what is opposite of what God wants us to do, we're going to eventually experience spiritual death. I want you to look at what it says here in 1 Peter 2:11. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Wow. And this is what he tells us, right? Peter is saying, we are temporary residents and foreigners. We're just sojourners. We're just passing through this planet Earth, right? And he's telling us, keep away from the worldly desires, because guess what? They're waging war. Every day, it's a war. But the more you're grounded in the Word of God, the stronger you will be. The stronger you will be in your spirit to resist. Amen? To not allow the devil to get to your mind and to your heart. What James 4, 4 to 5 says. Read it with me. Ready? Go. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the Spirit he has placed within us should be what? Faithful to him. Is the Holy Spirit inside of you? Well, the Holy Spirit is calling you to be faithful to Father God. Amen? And you realize he's doing that because he wants us to stay grounded, stay secure in where we are as a child of God. And if we don't do things God's way, it tells us you become a friend of the world. Guess what? You're a friend of the devil, and you're an enemy of God. Wow. And if you're drawn to doing evil, we realize who's our leader. If you're always being drawn, you're always doing evil, right? Get to the point, maybe you're saying, you know what? Maybe enough of this God stuff already. I'm going here where I want to go because I like to party. I like to do what I want to do. Well, yeah, more than likely you're being led by the devil. Even worse, look what Jesus says here. He doesn't say leader. Look what he says here. John 8, 4, 4. Read it with me. Ready? Go. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. Wow. Why you want to follow a liar? Don't do it. And he's good at lying. He's a master liar. He's the best there ever was, ever is, ever shall be. He is the liar of all liars. So you got to stick close to the Word of God, the truth. Because guess what? The truth will always expose the lies. You're going to know what the lies are. And you got to walk away. You got to reject them. Run away sometimes if you have to. Don't let the devil entrap you. And, you know, we got to understand something here. Because when God is the leader of your life, guess what's going to happen? You will also be a godly influence to many people in your life. Many. When you follow the Word of God, people, they're going to be attracted to you because they realize you're not like the world. And they realize how blessed your life is. They realize how much peace there is in your life, and they want that. And the impact of a person's life can be either for good or for bad. And you know, and the following examples I'm going to give to you will demonstrate the different impact a person can have on their descendants. Okay, there was this man. His name is Max Jukes. Max Jukes. He was an atheist. And he lived a very ungodly life. And he married a very ungodly woman. Okay? And so, you know, you could tell that they were kind of meant for each other because they just didn't want anything to do with God. Well, guess what? They had 540 descendants. 310 of them died paupers. 150 were criminals. 7 murderers. 100 were drunkards. More than half of the women were prostitutes. On the other side, there's this man named Jonathan Edwards, and he lived such a godly life. He loved God with all of his heart, and he married a very godly woman, and they had 1,394 descendants, and 13 were college presidents. 65 were college professors. 3 were U.S. senators. 30 were judges. 100 were lawyers. 60 were doctors. 75 were Army and Navy officers. 100 were preachers and missionaries. 60 were authors of prominence. One was vice president of the United States. 8 were public officials. 295 were college graduates, of whom some became state governors and U.S. ambassadors. Wow. Do you see the contrast here? You know, one who lived an ungodly life, right, had a terrible, terrible effect on their descendants. The other one lived a very godly life, loved God with all of his heart, and had a tremendous positive influence on his descendants. What kind of impact will your life have on other people? That's something we should ask ourselves, you know? And the Apostle Paul, he encouraged the church of Philippi to stand out brightly as great witnesses for God. I want you to look at the bottom line verses and take a look at that scripture and see what the Apostle Paul had said. I want you to read with me Philippians 2, 14 to 16. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like what? Stars in the sky as you hold firmly to what? The word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. You know, Apostle Paul says, you're going to shine like stars. It's when you hold on to the word of God, you're going to shine brightly to this world who is in darkness. Amen? We're going to shine. Can you just look up in the sky at night, see how bright? It's so like a little dot, right? But you realize it brings light to the sky. And we are to be that kind of light to the world. And we got to understand, was David perfect? No, he's a human being just like you and me, right? But he always had a great desire to please God. I want you to look at Acts 13, verse 22. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. You see what God is saying here? He's a man after my own heart. Why? Because he's going to do everything I want him to do. Everything. Whatever I ask, he's not going to, oh, no, I don't want. No, he's going to say, oh, Lord, I want. Yes, Lord, I want you. I want to do it your way. Because I want your blessings to be poured forth in my life. I want my descendants to experience the blessings from heaven as you have poured it forth on me. I want all my descendants to experience all of this too. And that's why we are called to be that shining bright light for all the world to see. Amen. So here's the question. Will you pray this prayer? Because, you know, you don't have to, pray it word for word, but you kind of know the heart of it right now, right? I want you to look at your notes right now again, that very first verse that we read, okay? You can just say it or, you know, but we're just going to recite it, okay? Don't go, okay, oh, Pastor Ben will force me to say this prayer now. I don't know. I'm not ready. No, just recite it with me, okay? And when you know your heart is ready, really mean it from your heart and see what God will do. Because, yeah, some things may happen that make you feel uncomfortable, but guess what? You're going to become like Jesus Christ. Man, your heart is going to be so huge for God because you're putting it to God. You're saying, it's wide open, Lord, for you. My heart is all yours. And God's going to do something magnificent in your life. Won't you say this prayer with me or recite it with me? Ready? Go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Amen. And you know how to ask myself, what is it that would make David pray such a dangerous prayer? Because he told God, I'm wide open. Okay? Well, I'm going to show you this video. And you're going to see, when it comes on the screen, you're going to know what it is right away. What is it? And it's presented by an actor. His name is Denzel Washington. And he's such a strong Christian. I love him. When he talks, man, I listen, you know. But I want you to listen to what he says. He is at a college a graduation, and he was called to be the speaker. I want to just listen to a portion of what he says. Benson, could you play that, please? Okay, bro.
There Number you go. One, put God first. Put God first in everything you do. Everything that you think you see in me, everything that I've accomplished, everything that you think I have, and I have a few things. Everything that I have is by the grace of God. Understand that. It's a gift. I've been protected. I've been directed. I've been corrected. I've kept God in my life, and it's kept me humble. I didn't always stick with him, but he always stuck with me. So stick with him in everything you do. If you think you want to do what you think I've done, then do what I've done. And stick with God. You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. I don't care how much money you make, you can't take it with you. And it's not how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. We all have different talents. Some of you will be doctors, some lawyers, some scientists, some educators, some nurses, some teachers. Yeah, okay. Some preachers. The most selfish thing you can do in this world is help someone else. Why is it selfish? Because the gratification, the goodness that comes to you, the good feeling that I get from helping others. Nothing's better than that. Not jewelry, not the big house I have, not the cars, but it's the joy. That's where the joy is, in helping others. That's where the success is. Say thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for parents. Thank you for love. Thank you for kindness. Thank you for humility. Thank you for peace. Thank you for prosperity. Say thank you in advance for what's already yours. That's how I live my life. That's why I am, one of the reasons why I am today. Say thank you in advance for what is already yours. True desire in the heart for anything good is God's proof to you sent beforehand to indicate that it's yours already. I'll say it again. True desire in the heart, that itch that you have, whatever it is you want to do, that thing that you want to do to help others and to grow and to make money, that desire, that itch, that's God's proof to you, sent beforehand already to indicate that it's yours. And anything you want good, you can have. So claim it. Work hard to get it. When you get it, reach back, pull someone else up. Each one, teach one. Don't just aspire to make a living. Aspire to make a difference.
Praise God. And we know when we put God first, yeah, you can pray a prayer. Just like David, it's not going to be like, oh, no, I don't know if I can do that, right? That's too hard. No, you put God first. Every area of your life, you're going to say, Lord, I want to pray this prayer because I want to be so close to you. I want to experience your presence each and every day. I want to have such a deepness of love for you, Father God. And that's what all of us should be desiring, amen? And you can have it. Don't be afraid of this prayer, brothers and sisters. When you pray it, you know, mean it from your heart. God, he knows your heart. And he's going to show himself in ways that will let you know, child, I'm here for you. I'm so glad you're even thinking, you're even just thinking about praying this prayer. But you know, when you show to God that your heart is desiring to be given fully over to him, yeah, he's going to be very pleased. And he's going to help you to become the person he's called you to be. Person who is after his own heart and a person who is just like his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't we go ahead, let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And we realize, Father, that we know we only can become the person that you call us to be if we truly make that first step of saying, Lord, search me. Know my heart, God. Help me to become that person that you call me to be. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything that offends you and lead me along that path of everlasting life. Father, as we take the time to really take this prayer to heart, Father, I know you're going to transform us into the very image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And with all our heads bowed, with our hearts fully in adoration of you, Father, I know you know our hearts. And if you know this is your heart, you're saying, Lord, I desire to live a life that's true to you. Father, will you help me? Help me, Lord, because sometimes I don't recognize that I have sinned, that I may have hurt someone. Father, I want to live a life knowing that your Holy Spirit is always counseling me, always directing me, always guiding me, always pointing out to me things that I may have done to offend you or offend others. If this is your heart's cry, saying, Lord, that is me, Lord, will you help me to become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ? Help me, Lord, because I need your help. If this is your heart's cry, can you raise your hand right now so I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Anyone else saying, Lord, that is me. Father, I need your help desperately. Please help me. Praise God. Anyone else saying, Jesus, my heart is all yours. Praise God. Praise God. All right. You can put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you see now the hands that were raised, but most importantly is the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I know I failed many times in my life, but Father, I know you are always there to pick me up. Father, I pray that you will continue to do this, Lord, because I know as you are, as my Abba Father, you will always be there for me, and you will always help me so that I will be strengthened so that I can continue on this walk that I desire to have with you. Father, will you continually show us your power and your strength, and that your peace will abound in our minds and in our hearts as we live our lives fully devoted to you. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says, amen.